Lord is good, amen. You know, I always find it real joy in bringing the word, and I consider it a real privilege, and I don't take this time lightly, because I'm very much of a person where I believe that in our Christian journey, understanding of the word of God is very important. Not only that, but holding on to the word is very, very important. We had a powerful service last week. We saw God moving and touching lives in a tremendous way. And let's continue to have that hunger, and let's continue to have that thirst for the Spirit of God. You know, where there is this hunger for the Spirit of God moves. It's all about having this anticipation, but at the same time, this openness to the Spirit of God, saying, God, what do you want me to do today? God, what is it that you have for me today? And I pray today, you know, as we open the Word together, and as we see God together, that God will speak to us. You know, because we want God to speak to us. Amen. We want to hear from God. And a lot of my message has already been shared from the platform. The scripture that I got today was Romans chapter 8. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So we've had a couple of confirmations already. And you know, this was just one of them things. 2 weeks ago, when I preached a message, I preached on why godliness requires discipline. And I said I was going to follow up on that topic this week as well. And I had all my notes and everything prepared. And I had everything ready last night. But this morning when I woke up, God gave me a different message. So I was battling, you know, I was like, do I preach from the message that I'm already comfortable with? Or do I prepare a fresh new message and bring what God wants me to bring? So you know what I did? Took me a while, but I said, okay, God, I'll prepare a new message. So this is a new message that I received from the Lord this morning. So this is fresh. Amen. And I'm serving you fresh out of the oven. Praise God. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. I've entitled my message, People of Spirit. People of Spirit. Or Church Moving in the Spirit. Church Moving in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. Here Paul writes to the church in Rome, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the sin was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteousness required of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. That's what we want, amen. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Very powerful statement there, you know, very challenging statement at the same time. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Amen. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Amen. You will live. This is the words of Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And here we are, Paul writing one of the longest letters probably in the New Testament. And he's writing to the Roman church. And because he's not personally familiar with this church, he begins his letter by actually introducing himself. And in his introduction, he says he is someone who was called to be an apostle. Or in other words, he was appointed to be an apostle. In other words, he did not make himself an apostle, but that calling was placed upon him by God himself, and therefore now he was called to be an apostle. And he goes on to clarify his mission. His mission was to bring about obedience among all the nations, all the Gentiles, not just Jews, but to all nations. And in his introduction, he expresses his desire, how much he was yearning to be amongst the believers in Rome and to share fellowship with them, and not only that, but to share the word of God with them. You know, and in the biblical world, Romans 8 is considered either the greatest or even one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, really. And I love how the chapter begins. It begins with, there is no condemnation. It says, there is no condemnation. And I love that word, therefore. Yeah. Therefore, now there is no condemnation. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Doesn't matter what you're about to do. There is no condemnation. Okay? But here's the thing. It starts with saying no condemnation. But as we read the chapter, if you get time, please go and do some reading at home. This is a beautiful chapter. I'd encourage each and everybody to study this chapter, because this chapter has got loads of truths in it and loads of exhortation in it that will help us draw closer to Jesus. And he starts by saying there is no condemnation, and he ends the chapter by saying there is no separation. Amen. Okay, so the chapter starts with no condemnation, chapter finishes with no separation, and in between there is this reminder that there is victory in Jesus. Amen. There is no condemnation, there is no separation, and in the between there is always victory in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you might be going through today, there is a way. And that way is Jesus. There is always a way. God always makes a way when there is no way. You see, I always find myself going back to this chapter. When I'm struggling, I go to this chapter. When I'm tired, I go to this chapter. When I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling low, I go to this chapter. And you know, we have this famous scripture actually that everybody quotes. And that is, if God is for us, who can be against us? Where does that come from? Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? So if we struggle with disappointment, hey, read Romans 8. If we struggle with guilt, read Romans 8. If you're struggling with rejection, if you're struggling with sin, grief, or any areas in your life that's stopping you from reaching out to what God has for you, read Romans 8. You know, Romans 8 is a chapter of encouragement, and it's also a chapter of truth. Because in all the chapters, Paul always commands, gives a command, hey, do this, do that. But in this chapter, Paul does not give them a lot of commands. Rather, he just encourages them. Listen, there is no condemnation. Listen, there is no separation. Listen, nothing can separate you from the love of God. If God is for you, who can be against you? God will make everything work together for your good. This is a chapter where Paul is constantly encouraging the church, saying, listen, I don't know what your circumstances are. I've not been with you yet, okay? But here's the thing. This is the truth. Receive the truth. You know, in Romans chapter 7, for those of you who might have read Romans chapter 7, we find this word I quite often. Paul uses I quite often in Romans chapter 7. But when we get to Romans chapter 8, Paul uses the word Spirit more than he uses the word I. Meaning that he's emphasizing that we have to live our lives according to the Spirit. We have to stay open to the Spirit. We have to hunger for the things of the Spirit. You see, and not only that,
But matter of fact, in the chapter, in chapter 7, Paul emphasizes that the law and sin was dominant in humanity. It was eating people from the inside. And when Paul gets to chapter 8, he says, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Paul knows and fully understands, you know, the struggles of being human and the struggles that we struggle with on our daily basis. And Paul understands, therefore he writes, you know, I do the things that I do not want to do, but I don't do the things I do want to do. You know, we know what's good for us, but we don't do what's good for us. We do exact opposite. We go on to things that's not good for us. Like eating that piece of cake. You know that piece of cake is going to add a bit of goodness to your body. And you know it's not, if you eat a lot of cake, it's not good for you. But what do? You always go back to that cake. Hey, only a little slice. Training starts Monday. And that Monday never comes. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Amen. You have that piece of cake, there is no condemnation. Verses 1 and 2. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because through Jesus, the law of sin, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. See, I love this. Paul makes a powerful statement, and he's received that statement not because of his own human intellect. He received it by the Spirit, from the Spirit, because he was in the Spirit. You see? Because he was in the Spirit, not because he was in the flesh. Paul's able to write these words because he was operating in the Spirit. Had he been operating in the flesh, we would have had a lot of set of rules. But he's operating in the Spirit, and he's able to say, for those who are in Christ, who are part of his body. You know, in other words, there is no condemnation also means now there is this beautiful spiritual union between Christ and his church. This beautiful spiritual union between Christ and the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ. You know, the text says, those who are in Christ. How are we in Christ? How do we become in Christ? The answer is faith. Only through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For those of you taking notes. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It is by grace you have been saved. Other translation, it is by grace you have been set free. Through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. It's a beautiful gift from God. Not by your works, so that no one can boast. See, because of the cross, Christ is in believers by his Spirit. Christ is in us by his Spirit, and believers are in Christ by faith. See, he's given us a Spirit, and our response to that Spirit is living by faith. We live by faith, knowing that faith is this, holding the things of what we don't see and pulling them into reality. Faith is speaking things into being. That's faith. Seeing things into being. You might not see it yet, but faith is actually, do you know what? I might not see it, but I'm going to grab what I don't see and bring it into reality. That's faith. And Christ is in believers by his Spirit, and believers are in Christ by faith. We did not earn this title of no condemnation. We didn't earn it. It's freely given to us. It's grace of God. No condemnation is grace of God to us. We have been transformed and been made in union with Christ through faith. I live a life of no condemnation, not because I feel like there is no condemnation. No, because I know there is no condemnation. Amen. See, there's a difference. We might feel condemned, but does that make us condemned? No. We might feel guilty, but does that make us guilty? No. Christ took it all upon himself. It's done deal. It is done deal. And that's exactly what Paul's trying to convey here. Listen, it is done. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Verses 3 and 4. For what the law was powerless to do because he was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Jesus became sin offering for us. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. Christ took all our condemnation upon himself in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. According to the Spirit. You see, the law of Spirit in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. God wants the Spirit to rule over the flesh. God wants his Spirit to rule over the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? See, walking in the Spirit means that the course, the direction, the progress of one's life is directed by the Holy Spirit. See, our entire core being directed by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means walking in power and obedience. We all want power, but without obedience, there is no power. Without obedience, there is no authority. Without accountability, there is no real form of responsibility, a real form of power into moving in the things of the Spirit. See, personally for me, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit and in power and in obedience? Firstly, walking in the Spirit means walking in the light and carrying that light with us wherever we go. What does it mean? Walking in the light. And this is confirmation again to what Grace was saying. Come out of the darkness. Don't hide. Come out. And this is exactly why I got this morning, first thing in the morning. I had a lot of things buzzing in my head. You know, I was all hyped up and I'm preparing and baby's crying and we're like, a lot of noise is going, you know, but I'm still preparing because this is from the Lord. You know, we have to walk in the light. It's time for us to come out of darkness. We have to be fed up of darkness. We have to hate the darkness. It's time to walk in the light. Not only that, but we carry the light with us wherever we go now. We carry the light with us. You know, just a few days ago, somebody was telling me, you know, when I come here, like, everybody's glowing. What is it? And I said, it's the Spirit of God. You might not see that in you, but when other people walk in, they see something of Christ in you. It is that power of God. It is that Spirit of God moving in you and through you. You don't even have to speak a word. It is just radiant. It's just glowing out of you. It's overflowing. So much so that it's about to pierce out of your body. That is the power of Christ. Walk in the light. Not only that, but be the light in the darkness. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means being in a Spirit-filled community. Spirit-filled community, not just any community. We've got lots of social communities. If you want a nice cup of tea and biscuit, you can go to all these social communities we have. But what we need is, we need Spirit-filled community. Hallelujah. We need Spirit-filled community. We need Spirit-filled church where people are empowered, where people are built up. No more crushing down. We want people to come alongside one another and build one another up and help them in their journey with Jesus. That's what we want, Spirit-filled community. Hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. I don't want no social this and that. I want the Spirit of God. I want to see some power in action. I want to see Spirit of God moving through our lives, reaching out to thousands and thousands, moving in signs, wonders, and miracles. That's for each and every one of us. It's not just in the book of Acts. It's for today. Book of Acts is for today, hallelujah. It's for today, being filled, being in a Spirit-filled community. Not only that, but carrying that Spirit with us wherever we go. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. And thirdly, personally, what does it mean for me to walk in the Spirit? It means practicing and encouraging the Spirit gifts. Practicing and encouraging the spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ. Word of knowledge, word of prophecy. We're doing a teaching on that in the next few weeks. Pastor Andrew's got loads and loads of materials. He's been working on it for months and weeks, you know, and this is some solid teaching that we will be receiving in the coming weeks. And I want to encourage for those of you who really want to unpack the things of the Spirit to attend these sessions because it will do you good. We did some of the sessions before we went to Romania a few years ago and it did me good. It helped me become more sensitive to the Spirit of God. Because we want the shouts, hallelujah, bang, boom, 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 douche. But we need to be attentive to the Spirit of God. Everybody wants the charisma. Everybody wants the shouts.
Nobody wants to stay quiet and listen to the Spirit. But it's in the quietness, in that silence, in that place of rest, we hear from God Himself. It's in that quietness we receive from the Spirit. So we have to practice. See what God has given you. Don't hide that gifting. Don't let it die. It's time to take that cover off. I love what Mike was sharing with us a few weeks ago about the dream. Taking the wraps off one at a time. We need to take the wraps off, amen? Don't keep it wrapped up, what God has given you. It's time to open that package. It's time to move in what God has given you. If you have this passionate desire to evangelize, let's sit down, let's do something about it. If you have this passionate desire to serve, let's sit down, let's do something about it. If you have this passionate desire to move in the prophetic, let's sit down, let's talk about it, but let's do it in order. Amen? Because it is from God. It is from God. Let's practice the spiritual gifts. Not only that, but let's encourage the spiritual gifts. Paul says to Timothy, do not neglect the gifts that you received by the laying of hands. Do not neglect it. Because in some extent, Paul was neglecting it. Because what he might have thought what he had wasn't enough or wasn't good enough. And sometimes we compare ourselves and our giftings with other people and we think what we have is not good enough. But those are the lies from the devil, from the enemy. What you have is good enough. Amen? What you have, you can contribute. What you have will change the atmosphere, will change the surroundings for Jesus. Amen. Verse 5 and verse 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Amen. That's where we need to be. We need to move in what the Spirit desires. What God desires. And don't let your desire get in the way of God's desire. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Paul's being a bit funny here. He says it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It can't. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. See, we need to be able to discern what is of God and what isn't of God. We have to be able to discern what is of God, what is from God, and what isn't of God. You see, some of the indicators. When we begin to operate in the realm of the flesh, when our spiritual tank runs out, that's when we begin to operate in the realm of flesh, which I'm guilty of plenty of time myself. When the spiritual tank's running low, you know, you're running on empty tank. Have you tried driving your car on an empty tank? You don't get very far with it. You always have to keep an eye on your petrol indicators or your diesel, how much fuel you've got. See, you can't just say, hey, I've got faith, you know. It works, you know. We heard one instance from Pastor Andrew where he slammed the dashboard and boom, the car moved. You know, but God has given us wisdom as well, amen. We need to keep an eye on that indicator. When the petrol's running low, hey, I need to receive from God. So, the only time we begin to operate in the flesh is when our petrol's running low. Then we hide ourselves back in. But the Lord, the word of the Lord says, come out from your hiding. If you're struggling, that's fine. If your tank's running a bit low, that's fine. If you've got a bit of brokenness in you, that's fine. Church is a place where brokenness is welcomed and accepted and nurtured and looked after and restored. Amen. Church is a safe place where if you're struggling with something, you can come out and you can talk about it. We're not here to play, hey, God is good, everything's all right. No, we're here to build one another up. We're here to restore one another up and transform each other in Jesus. That's what we're here for. So some of the indicators of unhealthy spirituality. I've personally fallen into them quite a lot of times, okay? So this is coming out from my own heart, and I hope this will help you. Some of the indicators of unhealthy spirituality. Doing for God instead of being with God. One of the indicators. You're always busy. Doing for God instead of being with God. You know, you use God to run away from God. You say, I'm doing this for God, but you don't really know God. And I've been there plenty of time myself. You know, It's just the main important thing for us is we have to be with God. We have to know God. You know, a healthy spirituality has a good balance of both. Some people just incline towards being with God and not doing for God. And some incline more towards doing for God and not being with God. But a healthy spirituality has a good balance of both. Being with God and doing the kingdom's work. A healthy spirituality has a good balance of both. Secondly, judging the spiritual journey of others. Judging the spiritual journey of others. You always move the topic from yourself onto others, because you're too afraid that your struggles might come to the surface. A healthy spirituality focuses on building and encouraging others up rather than judging them. Let's not fall into that pattern of judgmental. We all have struggles. And struggling is all right. Amen? It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay there. Let's move on. Let's stand up. Let's do something about it. Let's shake off the dust. Let's move on. We can learn from them, but don't dwell there. Please, don't dwell there. I've been there many a times myself, saying I've moved on, but I'm still dwelling there, rubbing on the dirt. It's time to get up. Shake the dust. Done. It's the past. Let's move on to what God has for us. I mean, it's done. It's done. And thirdly, losing your convictions. Doing things knowing it's bad for you. Losing your convictions. When we lose the convictions, that's when we need to be serious, cautious. When you begin to lose your convictions. The thing that used to be convicted of at one time, and now you do it, you don't feel convicted of it. We need to seriously check our hearts and we need to seriously check our spirituality. A healthy spirituality lives a life of conviction. With conviction, in conviction, walking in the Spirit is walking in conviction that Jesus Christ, I'm here to serve Jesus, I'm here to follow Jesus, I'm here to preach and share the love of Jesus. Amen. Verses 6, 7, and 8. The mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I love how Paul writes his letters. He scares them, but then he encourages them again. Okay, he says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. You're going to die. But then he says, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of this flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. So we've got two different things here. Mind governed by the flesh, mind governed by the Spirit. So Paul's bringing a differentiation of two. Okay, differences of two. Mind governed by the flesh, mind governed by the Spirit. Mind governed by the flesh lives for the self-glory. Whatever I do, I need to look good. That's mind governed by the flesh. It's always about self. But mind governed by the Spirit lives for the glory of God. Amen. Lives for the glory of God. I do this because I want to glorify God. Jesus said, I do this so that the Father may be glorified through my actions. That's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. How much more should our attitude be towards glorifying God Himself? Whatever I do, whatever we do, church, a Spirit-filled community, you know, let's declare that over our church. We are a Spirit-filled church. Amen. We speak things into being. You know, we speak things into being. Next time somebody asks you what church you go to, Protestant, Catholic, what church you go to, tell them, we go to Spirit-filled church. And then they'll ask you, what does that mean? And tell them, come to church, you'll find out for yourself. Amen? We are a Spirit-filled church. Come on, church, say it with me. We are a Spirit-filled church. Let that be our declaration. We are a Spirit-filled church. Every time when somebody asks me, you know what, I said, we are a spiritual church. What denomination are you? We are a spiritual church. Where do you go to? I go to a Spirit-filled church. Amen. Spirit-filled church. We live for the glory of God. We live for the glory of God. See, mind governed by flesh only lives for self-gain. I do something so that I can get something from you. That's mind governed by flesh.
But man governed by the Spirit lives for the benefit of others. Amen. Giver lives for the benefit of others. Jesus. This powerful statement. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Amen. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. See, mind governed by the flesh is limited. Small thinking. No vision. Nowhere. Going nowhere. But mind governed by the Spirit is always thinking big. Because God is a big God. You know, Andrew sometimes comes and he tells me, you know, I've not been able to sleep because God's giving me this, God's giving me that. Because his mind is governed by the Spirit. That's why he can't sleep. Because the vision's way beyond his thinking. And because the vision's way beyond his thinking, his flesh is saying, hold on a second, how are we going to do this? But it is the Spirit of God moving in his mind, in his life, and through his life, overflowing into our lives. Amen? That's the Spirit of God. A mind that is governed by the Spirit of God always thinks big. You are not a small thinking believer. You are a big thinking believer because your God is a big God. He's a big God. Don't think small. Don't limit yourself. No, a small person doesn't let other person go move in front of them. No. They pull them down. But a big person always thinks, hold on a second. If they grow in Christ, they can accomplish this. They can do this for Jesus. So they're always busy in the business of building others up, building people up for the kingdom. Yeah. Mind governed by the Spirit. See, Paul was always into the business of building the churches. Was always in the business of building the followers of Jesus, building the people of God, because his mind was governed by the Spirit. Henceforth, he was able to write these words because he received it from the Spirit. Amen. Verses 9 to 13. You, however, these are the words of Paul to the church in Rome, but these are the words of God to us. Amen. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. See, that's the thing. Always make room for the Spirit of God. Paul does not stop realm of the Spirit. He says, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Sadly, we don't allow the Spirit of God into our meetings. But we need to stay open to the Spirit of God. Amen. Because we know from the scriptures we've read, Spirit brings life. And if anybody does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Not your righteousness, but righteousness of Jesus. Amen. And in the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. In other words, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Amen. Lives in me, lives in us. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. This is a message to the church of Jesus. You are in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. You are in the realm of the Spirit. Yes. We are seeing things in the Spirit. We are moving in the Spirit. See, we are moving in the things of the Spirit. God gives to us stuff, you know, that we don't know where it's come from, but it's come from God. Word of prophecy, word of knowledge. Our human intellect does not work in that realm. It is from the Spirit of God. See, what happens when you walk in the realm of the Spirit? What happens when you walk in the realm of the Spirit? Firstly, you experience a new birth. You experience a new birth. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, wasn't able to understand this. He says, how can a man be born again? Can a man go back into his mother's womb? And he was trying to use his logic. How is that possible? But Jesus says to him, until you're born again. Until you're born again. So, when we walk in the realm of Spirit,
we experience a new birth. We experience a new birth. This new perspective to life, new perspective to how we live, we experience a new birth. Secondly, you will fall in love with God and His Word. When you walk in the realm of the Spirit, you will fall in love with God and His Word. You know, if you say to me, I love Jesus, but I don't read the Bible, that tells me something. You don't love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you will read the Word. You know, but you might say, I haven't got time. You make time. You know? You have to make time. It's like that's the only way you're going to grow in relationship. See, a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, if they don't talk to each other, if they don't make time for one another, their relationship will stay dry. But if they talk to one another, if they make time for one another, if they sit down and have meals together, that will increase their love for one another. It's the same with Jesus. When we give time to Jesus, when we make time, you know, if you prioritize someone in your life, you will make time for them. You will make time for them. If you love Jesus, you will make time for Jesus. If you love Jesus, you will make time for reading the Word of God. Amen? You will make time. If we can spend like 30 minutes watching an episode or 2 hours watching a movie, I'm sure, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day is nothing. We can scroll down on Facebook news feed, you know, watch loads and loads of posts and compare ourselves with the person we've watched. If we've got time for all of that, I'm sure we can make time for reading the Word. Amen? Let's push ourselves. I'm sure we all do that anyways. Amen. So thirdly, you will develop a godly conviction. A man of conviction is a man of God. A woman of conviction is a woman of God. See, a man who has convictions in his heart for the Word of God and for church and for Jesus will be a man of integrity. And that's who we need to be. Man of integrity, a woman of integrity, someone who stands for the truth, someone who does the truth, someone who speaks the truth. Amen? Yeah. We need to be men and women of integrity. Yeah. We need to be a church of integrity. We need to have church who has convictions in Jesus. Amen. Fourthly, your desire to know and honor God grows. Your desire to know and honor God grows. I love what Louise was saying to us last week. She was spending time with God on her own. A few years ago, you know, she didn't know what that terminology meant, spending time with God on her own. Hold on a second. What does that mean? You know, but now she came forward last week and she was testifying to God's goodness in her. She was spending time in His presence and all of a sudden she got hit with His love. And next thing you know, she woke up charged, full of His love, full of His presence. And you know, that shows that she's walking in the realm of the Spirit because her desire has now grown to spend time in His presence. See, when you love someone so much, you always find an excuse to spend time with that person. Always do. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, your desire to know God and honor God grows when you're walking in the realm of the Spirit. See, when you're walking in the realm of the Spirit, you get filled with this unexplainable joy and peace and love. See, you become joyful. You're like, hold on a second, I didn't have this joy in me before, but now I'm joyful. You didn't have this peace in you before, but in the middle of a storm, you are at peace. And people looking at you, hold on a second, you should be worrying, you should be panicking. You're at peace, something's not right. You know? Oh man, He's on the throne. And that is your testimony. People look at you and people have this understanding that when you're going through a storm, you panic. But they look at you, you're smiling. I'm struggling. Hold on a second. You're nuts. I'm struggling. I'm having a bad day, but you've got a smile on your face. See, you have this unexplainable peace in the midst of your storm. A few weeks ago, Pastor Andrew was sharing with us about Peter walking out of the boat. And he walked on the water, but actually he was walking on that word, come. That word, come. See, in the middle of all the storm, hold on to the words of Jesus. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. I've had to really, really hold on to these words, you know, because we go through seasons. And some seasons we're like, yay! Some seasons we're like, yay! You know, but in both the seasons, let's hold on to them words. Peace. Amen. Peace. Be still. Be still. And use that authority. Amen. Use that authority. When you go through a storm, peace. Be still. Use it. I mean, we don't use it. We expect Jesus to, because Jesus said it in the scripture. We expect Jesus to say them words again. But we have got the word now, so now we have the authority. Peace, be still. Use them. Disciples didn't have them back then, but now we do. Amen. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. I'm going to declare that over your life. Whatever storm, peace, be still. Whatever storms you might be going through with your family or with your work or with your career situation, with your school, with your college, whatever, peace, be still. Amen. Peace, be still. Hold on to that peace. Peace, be still. Don't give in to the lies of the enemy. Peace, be still. When you walk in the realm of the Spirit, you become mature and you flourish in your thinking. You become mature in your thinking and you flourish in your thinking. When you walk in the realm of the Spirit, you will have a growing hatred for sin. You will have this growing hatred for sin. For injustice, you will have this growing hatred. And you will have a great love for justice and holiness. You will have this great love for justice and holiness. Amen. When you walk in the realm of the Spirit, you will become a praying person. You will become a praying person. Does not mean you lock yourself up 24 hours. And you pray, no. You walk around, you see something, you pray. Because you're a man of spirit. Because you're a woman of spirit. Because you are a believer who operates in the realm of the spirit. You see something, you pray. Amen. You see something, you pray. You don't have even have to open your mouth. You pray, and I'm seeing something, I'm praying. Whereas, you know, before you pass an accident or you pass a situation, you wouldn't pray about it. But now, because you have the Spirit of God living in you, the Spirit of God awakens something in you, all of a sudden you feel like, hold on a second, I need to pray about this situation. So you pray. And because you're operating in the realm of the Spirit, you become a praying person. Amen? When you walk in the realm of the Spirit, you cannot help but tell others about Jesus. Amen? You cannot help but tell others about Jesus. You cannot, you know? In all your conversations, one way or another, you'll find a way to introduce Jesus. Because you are a man or woman of spirit. Yeah. You know? You cannot stop or talk about Jesus. Louise, you know, a few months ago, she was quiet. But now, you know, you'll have to tell her, listen, Louise. She's like going on and on about Jesus. You know, and she was telling us even like some of the people who come to visit her, she's always there giving them the gospel. So she's evangelizing where she lives, hallelujah. Because she's a woman of spirit. She's walking in the realm of the spirit. And church, we are church who are operating in the realm of the spirit. Let's continue to tell others about Jesus. Amen. Verse 12 and 13. So we just read verse 12 and 13 there. And in those verses, Paul was saying, if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body. You will live. You put death. Okay? I'm going to go a bit brutal. And I'm going to say, you will kill that sin. Yeah. Amen? So what Paul is saying here is, kill your sin or it will kill you. Kill your sin or it will kill you. Put to death that sin that's stopping you from reaching to what God has for you, or that sin will grab you by your leg or whatever and pull you down. See, I read this story sometime back on one of the news websites. I'm sure most of you have already heard this one, but I'm just going to read it out anyways. This was in one of the news websites. I think this happened some years ago. You see, and it says, in this news, it said, every night, this woman is to sleep with an enormous 7-foot python. When she lay on her stomach, the reptile would lay from her head to her toes in what she thought was a beautiful bonding moment. That is until she noticed that her snake
had started to starve itself. The worried owner took her pet snake to the vet to make sure the animal wasn't sick. But when he asked about the snake's daily routine, the owner was greeted with a horrifying surprise. What the vet told her was shocking. It turned out that the python was fasting in order to prepare itself for a big meal, its loving owner. The vet explained that when the python moved and curled up against her during the night, it was to better judge the size and weight of the young woman. In other words, the python was sizing the woman up and getting ready to eat her. Her concern for her snake undoubtedly saved her life. Crazy, isn't it? Saved her life. What she thought was a bonding moment was actually her death trap right there. The snake, the python was preparing itself for this big feast, and it was its loving owner. You see, and there's a lesson in this one. If we continue in our sin, sooner or later, the sin will kill us. The sin will pull us. So we need to kill sin at its root so that it will not bear any deadly fruit. And it all starts with a seed. Yesterday in the training, the trainer talked about faith, small as mustard seed. You know, and it all starts with a seed of doubt, a seed of hurt, a seed of bitterness, a seed of compromise, a seed of the past we are still holding on to. Can I say this? It's time to stand and deal with it. It's time to stand and deal with that thing that's stopping you. Don't let any of those things be a hindrance in your walk. God has great plans and purposes for your life. See, they are, and as a church, let's continue to deal with them together. Whatever it is that's stopping you, let's deal with them together. Allow God to dig into your heart and uproot the harmful seed. And it requires a complete surrendering to God. It requires a complete surrendering to God. See, we are the people of the Spirit who live and operate in the realm of the Spirit. And you know, surrendered life always leads to Spirit-filled life. A surrendered life always leads to spiritual life. We are sanctified and washed by the blood of the Lamb. I know these words are now considered old traditional words, but they are true words. We are washed and cleansed and sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Blood of Jesus. There is no condemnation, no separation, only victory in Jesus. No condemnation, no separation, only victory in Jesus. And that thing that's trying to make you feel like a defeated one, it's time to stand and take hold of that and say, do you know what, you have no power on me. Put it down, stomp it, and say, I am victorious in Jesus. No more am I a slave to you, sin. I'm victorious in Jesus. You see, no seed is too big that God cannot get rid of. No sin too great that God cannot forgive. No problem too great that God cannot deal with. It's time to let go and let God complete His work. He started in you. Started in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.